What's my subscription to the New York Times have me doing this week? Preparing a strawberry pretzel pie. Solving spelling bee with no hints. Planning a trip to one of the 52 best places to go. Getting to the bottom of the big pants trend.
Whoa.
And I'm finally replacing my vacuum with a recommendation I can trust. What will your subscription to the Times have you do? Why not find out? With our best offer, go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
From the New York Times, I'm Sabrina Tavernisi. This is The Daily. In the small and close-knit community of Uvalde, Texas, the killing of 21 people at an elementary school has left few lives untouched. Over the past few days, my colleagues Rick Rojas, Natalie Kitroev, Eduardo Medina, and I set out to tell some of those stories. It's Wednesday, June 1st.
Hi. All right. Cool. Would you mind just spelling your name for me to make sure I have that right?
G-E-M-M-A.
And your last name?
Lopez, L-O-P-E-Z.
And how old are you?
10 years old.
And just to be sure, you're her grandmother?
Yes, I'm her grandmother.
All right.
I have custody of her.
Okay. Great. So I guess first off, tell me about today. What have you been doing today?
Today, I didn't just wake up. I woke up at 7 because she just got here at 7. And then we did a lot of stuff. We're playing around. We were playing hide and seek for a little bit. We went to our grandpa's. And then we were playing around with Alexis, my little cousin.
Okay. And so what grade are you in?
I'm in fourth grade.
Okay. So you've just been playing and just trying to take it easy today?
Yeah, and then we got chicken and we ate it here, and then we were just playing around.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And so you were talking about your classroom being close to there. I mean, would you mind, I know it's difficult, but what do you remember from that, from that day? What kind of?
All I remember was just in the morning, we were just eating breakfast. Then we put on a movie. The movie was, I think, The Jungle Cruise.
Okay.
Like, in the middle of it, we went to PE. Then we played a little bit more of the movie, and then we went to the award ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came back, we finished the movie. And then we did like a little bit of our work, and then we were just messing around, playing around, doing whatever we do. And then, like, all of a sudden, like unexpectedly, I heard like gunshots, but I thought they were like firecrackers, because like kids on their free time, like, they could mess around and everything. After like I heard that, like, I wasn't thinking of it as much. And then I just checked the window. Then I saw police officers, like, holding their gun. And then I heard a gunshot again. And then I shot the top of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went in between Jillis and Stacy, and went, like, close to my arm. But I missed my arm. And then, like, I knew something was, like, so wrong. So everybody went under the, like, first, they turned off the lights, and everybody went under the table.
Mm-hmm.
They were scared and everything, but I told them to be quiet. Then I heard like a lot more of gunshots. I was crying a little bit, and my best friend Sophia was also crying right next to me.
I mean, how do you see her doing? I mean, you see your granddaughter go through something like this. I mean, how do you help her cope?
Well,
like,
she was telling me that she went under the table, and I said, well, that's good, Mama, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't run or scream. She just went under the table. I mean, she cried a little bit, but, I mean, you know, she didn't panic that much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's good that she turned off the light, you know.
Oh, so you turned off the light in the
classroom? Yeah, she turned off the light.
Yes.
Wow. And what made you think to do that?
Because, like, we always have all these drills about, like, the lockdowns. And they and like they always say like to turn off the lights instantly and like go hide. So I instantly just remember that, so I instantly did it.
Okay, so there have there been just like they told you to do this, or did you actually practice this before?
We practice like a lot. Locked down since like pre-K or kindergarten.
Wow.
Your name is Jacob, yeah?
Yes.
A-L-B-A-R-A-D-O. That's your last name, right?
Yes, correct.
And what, are you in the Border Patrol?
Yes.
And so, were you on duty at the time, or were you off?
No, I was off duty. I was in my slacks and dress shoes because I had just left Rob because I was at an award ceremony.
You were at an award ceremony for your daughter?
Yes, correct. That goes there at Rob. She's in second grade at Rob.
Okay.
And my wife teaches fourth grade at Rob.
How did you hear that this was going on?
As I was walking into his barbershop, he's like, "Did you hear that?" I was like, "No." I said, what are you talking about?" He's like, "Man, I think I heard gunshots." I said, "Nah." I said, "I didn't hear anything." I sit down and get my hair cut, and nothing, we didn't get started at all. He received a text from his wife that Rob had a shooter, and then I received a text from my wife saying that there was an active shooter. So we just took off, hauling butt to the school as fast as we could.
You and the barber?
Yes.
Did the barber have a kid in the school too?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Thankfully, my barber had a shotgun. I grabbed his shotgun and took off running towards the school.
You're kidding me.
Well.
And he had that in his car or something? Like, did you run?
He had it in his truck.
Do you remember what time this was around?
I checked my messages. Yeah, I checked my messages. It was like 11:45, 11:47.
So what were you thinking when you went in? I mean, when you went in there, were you just like, "I'm going to save these kids"? I mean, what was on your mind? What was going through your head?
Oh, seriously. I mean, seriously, I need to get my wife out. I need to get my daughter out. But of course, I'm getting everyone else out as well. My wife got out. I was in contact with her, but I was still looking for my daughter. So from that point on, I just said, "Where's my daughter? Where's Jada?" I ran towards the opposite wing to go get my daughter. My daughter was past the playground. So I went after her. I mean, I knew where she was at. My wife kept on telling me that she was in the restroom because my wife was in contact with my daughter's teacher. I was looking for a restroom. I couldn't find the restroom, but apparently there's restrooms inside the classroom.
But were you personally looking, or were the agents looking?
No, I ran over there and I was looking for the restroom, couldn't find the restroom. And then I told him, I said, "We need to get these kids out of here." I take charge of every situation. I've had 13 years of law enforcement. I don't know how many years these other guys have, but I take control of every situation.
Okay, so you were leading this team, basically.
This makshift team that I made, yes.
And how did you make, like, you got to the scene, and what, did you just, like, see your colleagues and say, like, "We're doing this"? Or how did you get the team together that fast?
Yeah, I ran. I ran across, and I said, "What's going on?" They're all, the kids are on the room locked down. I said, "Man," I said, "get these kids out of here." I said, "These kids, we have, this is our opportunity. This is our time to get the kids out." So I started clearing the rooms.
And you had just a bunch of officers were out there, and so you were able to just get together a team right there.
Yeah, it's a small town. Half these guys know me, half these guys don't. They realized I was taking charge, and they just listened. I was on the sidewalk. I sent two officers to open up the rooms and send them my way. Then I had another two officers pointing their guns towards where the active shooter was at, and then I had another two officers set up on the sidewalk so the kids can know where to go. I cleared out her whole wing of classes, which is like 5 or 6 classes. And then I finally see my daughter. And then I start clearing out the other wing. And then I see my daughter's best friend. I clear out all their... Clearing them all out, sending them towards the parking lot so they can get off campus. So who knows if the shooter's going to be moving around. Who knows? But at that point in time, the shooter wasn't there. So I was getting everybody, anyone I could, off of campus.
How many kids do you think you cleared out?
5, 6 classes on one wing, which is about 20-something kids a class, and then another wing, which is another 5, 6 classes, another 20-something kids a class.
Wow.
So, easily, I say 200 kids.
Wow. Did you see your daughter come out? Were you able to give her a hug?
No, I saw her. I spotted her, and it was a big relief that she was fine, yes. I think I might have given her a hug and just kept on moving the kids along. I did what I'm trained to do.
Hi.
Hello.
I don't know if I'm in the right place. I was looking for Ruben.
Ruben? No, he's not there right now. He's next door.
He's next door.
Yeah, that's his man. He's next door.
Yeah.
But he's not there right now.
Okay.
He wants to be a load egg, you know. Everything that happened to him is just so crazy. It's so unbelievable. I work at the hospital, so.
You do?
Yes, I work at the hospital. And, oh, my God, I just can't get it out of my mind. I can't sleep. Ever since that, I couldn't sleep. I just can't sleep. I hear the screaming. Everything, I just hear everything. It's just crazy.
Oh, my God.
I never thought it was going to happen to you. But it did, so. What's your name again?
Natalie. Yeah. What's your name?
Well, my name is Ricky.
Ricky?
Yes, ma'am.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
What do you do at the hospital, if you don't
mind? I'm a groundskeeper.
I
have my grandson. My 2 grandsons were going to school. They were going to school there. And I have a niece that was going, but they're okay, but they're just checking up. Yeah, I guess they saw what they saw, and it's just crazy. But yeah, I just can't sleep. I can hear the screaming, the yelling. And what I saw, I mean, the kids, when they're bringing them in, it was just, I could see the kids when the door were open to the emergency room. You can see the kids when they're coming in. It's just unbelievable.
When you were hearing the screaming, who was screaming?
Like the parents, when they were giving the bad news. They're just seeing the shivering disease. No, motherfucker, no. Hitting the walls, I can hear that. I can hear that. The fear, the sadness, everything, the anger they were feeling, it was just my body. I mean, I grabbed goosebumps. I had goosebumps. I go, man, I'm lucky. Thank you, God. But, you know, what about the other kids?
I mean, how many parents did you see like that?
Oh, man, the whole hospital was full. The whole hospital was full. Parents going and sitting down, just shock, and I mean, there's something that I don't know, just something that just can't get out of my mind. And the nights, sometimes I can't sleep. I'm just here, I can hear the echoes in my rings and screaming, the pain they were in, and stuff like that. It's just, but I think I'm gonna go to counseling here tomorrow. This was never me, but ever since I saw that, I mean, I thought I would never see something like that. You see it in the movies or hear it out of here, but.
When you like can't sleep at night, are you hearing a specific thing that they're saying?
Yeah, just yelling. No, that's the only thing I can. That's the thing that I would hear. No, the parents. No, fuck no, boom, boom, fuck no, boom, boom. Why no? It's just, man.
You're gonna go do some counseling, right?
Yes, I got to. It's just kicking my ass. I mean, I just feel, I don't know, I feel weird. It just. I wish I could have done something, but I can't. I mean, it's just so unreal.
Yeah. Do you think anything is going to change because of all this?
I'm hoping so, Natalie. I'm hoping so. Something's got to change. I mean, come on. It's just too much already.
I'm so sorry for what you had to go through.
It's okay. Thank you.
I'm going to send you a note, okay? I'm going to send you a text.
Yes.
I'm going to also write
it.
All right. Ricardo, right?
We'll be right back.
My name is Jasmine Ulloa, and I'm a national politics reporter for The New York Times. I grew up in Texas, on the border with Mexico, and I've been reporting in the region since I was in high school. Now I travel the country looking for stories and voices that really capture what immigration and the nation's demographic changes mean for people. What I keep encountering is that voters don't fall into neat ideological boxes on this very volatile issue. There's a lot of gray. And that's where I feel the most interesting stories are. I'm trying to bring that complexity and nuance to our audience, especially in such a critical election year. And that's really what all of my colleagues on the politics team and every journalist at the New York Times is aiming to do. Our mission is to help you understand the world, no matter how complicated it might be. If you want to support this mission, consider subscribing to the New York Times. You can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
So I'm Dr. Ronald Stewart. I'm a trauma surgeon at University Hospital in San Antonio. And I've been here for, I guess, more or less 40 years. And
oh, wow.
I've been faculty since 1993.
So you've seen a lot of trauma surgery over the years.
I have. I've treated lots of patients with firearm injuries and gunshot wounds over the years. And then we had the Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church mass shooting.
That was the shooting in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where 26 people were killed.
Yeah.
On that note, Dr. Stewart, I wanted to turn to Tuesday and the shooting in Uvalde.
Yes.
So bring me back to the beginning of that day. How did it begin for you? What was the morning like?
So I had a 7 a.m. meeting, then I had another meeting with our chief medical officer, you know, just normal daily activities. And then sometime at around, I guess, probably around 11:30 or noon, I got a notification that there was first responders responding to a shooting with an elementary school.
What was the first thing that came to your mind?
The first thing, honestly, I think would be sadness. Emotion of sadness, the first emotion. And a wish to hope that it's not accurate, you know, that it's not the report's not right. But then really, you know, just probably a few seconds later, it's like, okay, so our job is to prepare at that time for whatever comes our way.
And what's the first thing you see once people start to arrive?
We received three children and one adult. And we have children who were, elementary age children who they're small. And critically ill patients are intubated, and these wounds are the wounds that we saw were typical of high energy wounds from high velocity firearms. Typical 12 muzzle velocity of say 800 to 1200 feet per second, a handgun muzzle velocity, you have an entrance wound and you may or may not have an exit wound, and you have two holes and that's what you have. But these sorts of wounds, you have, big defects in tissue. It's destroyed, it's open. That's what you're seeing.
And Dr. Stewart, what will you most remember from that day?
To me, people working together to help another person, a child, when they need it the most, is the most beautiful thing. I'm a photographer and I consciously look for beauty in the world, but the most beautiful thing that I see is people working together to help somebody when they need it the most. It's like watching a symphony that all the parts are different, but all working together towards a common goal. That I will remember. That's the beauty. That's the beauty. You know, probably the thing I will remember the most negative is a conversation with the child who's describing the events of the scene. The horror of the events, the actuality. We weren't asking what happened. They just started talking about what happened. That to me is that thing I will remember.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel kind of bad and guilty in that maybe I feel like I'm focused on, you know, how I feel a little bit, but because obviously the impact to the patient and families is nothing compared to anything that I go through or we go through. It's nothing. It pales in comparison, you know.
Yeah.
I'd love to make sure I have the spelling of your names correct, if that's okay.
Okay.
Kimberly Rubio, right?
Yes.
Got K-I-M-B-E-R-L-Y?
Yes.
And then Rubio, R-U-B-I-O?
Yes.
Sir, would you be comfortable if I include your name in there?
That's fine.
Perfect. How do I spell it?
Felix, F-E-L-I-X.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rubio.
Would you be comfortable if I include your daughter's age in the story as well?
Yes, fine. She's 10.
10, perfect.
And they need to know how old she was.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where you'd want to start, but something we've been asking today is if parents were there at the school when the officers were there, and if so, what you saw and what you made of the response there from the law enforcement.
We were there for... Well, first of all, we had two kids on campus. My son is in second grade and my daughter was in fourth grade. We went to his award ceremony at 8 and we left and we went back at, hers was at 10:30. She got two awards, the Good Citizen Award and the LA Honor Roll. We took pictures with her and then my mother-in-law said that we would get her ice cream after school. She loves ice cream. She always wants ice cream.
It sounds to me like she was a brilliant girl. Can you tell me more about that? Was she always very studious?
Always. My husband has said it before. She is the student every teacher wants because she does everything that's asked of her. She's you never have to tell her to do her homework. She does everything. She's very competitive. They have a program for like math to help them and they get points. And she was just back and forth with this one student one year because
she wanted to be first.
Yes, she wanted to be first.
Wow.
She's shy, really quiet.
Mm.
We've talked about this though. When she had a point that she wanted to cross, she made it. She would speak up.
And, sorry, this is my first question, but it's just coming to mind now. How do I spell your daughter's name?
A-N-D-R-I-A.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lexi, for her nickname, L-E-X-I.
Got us Alexandria Anaya Rubio.
Yes.
A powerful name, that is.
Well, we've thought about it. I always think about what it sounds like when they call them at graduation. So we waited a long time. We couldn't come up with a name for her.
Very last minute.
Very last minute, they told us, hey, if you want to leave tomorrow, we need you to fill this out now. Exactly. It was perfect.
It's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
I'd love to know from you if there are particular messages you want to make sure people understand from someone who's at the core of this terrible tragedy.
Well, We live in this really small town in this red state. And everyone keeps telling us, you know, that it's not the time to be political. But it is. It is. Because I don't want this to happen to anybody else. You know, when I got home, my mom told me that the governor was here, that he wanted to come and meet with the families. And my first thought was, my Lexi doesn't even like him. And she was really little, but we talked about this stuff at home. We talked about women's rights, and she was a budding feminist, you know, like she was...
Yeah.
It's my baby, and I don't want anybody else to go through this.
And this is her husband, Lexi's dad.
Hi, sir.
And like my wife said, we just want to get the point across. We hear it all the time. Someone needs to come with a solution. This is painful. It really is. Our baby was taken. She's taken.
They don't care about who they keep. They don't care about the baby. I still don't even understand why anybody needs this kind of weapons.
I suppose you mean...
Is it really worth my baby? Is it really worth all of these babies?
On Tuesday, funerals for the children killed at Robb Elementary began in Uvalde. Many of them will be buried in specially designed caskets, decorated with their favorite sports and cartoon characters. We'll be right back. Here's what else you need to know today. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court blocked a Texas law that would ban large social media companies from removing posts based on the views contained in them. The case is moving through the lower courts, and the 5-4 vote suspends the Texas law while it is being litigated. Supporters of the law say it was an attempt to combat what they called Silicon Valley's censorship of conservative views. The law was prompted in part by the decisions of some platforms to bar former President Donald Trump after the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The case may well eventually end up at the Supreme Court. Justice Samuel Alito wrote in a dissent that the issues raised in it were so novel and significant that the court would have to consider them at some point. Today's episode was produced by Diana Wynn, Asta Chaturvedi, and Claire Tennis-Sketter, with help from Will Reed and Eric Krupke. It was edited by Michael Benoit, with help from Lisa Chow. Contains original music by Alicia Baitu, Marion Lozano, and Dan Powell, and was engineered by Corey Schreppel. Special thanks to Jack Healy, Francis Robles, Josh Peck, Edgar Sandoval, Jasmine Ulloa, and Nicholas Bogle Burrows. Our theme music is by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsverk of Wonderly. That's it for The Daily. I'm Sabrina Tavernisi. See you tomorrow.